At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Switzerland! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Lloyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, let's get after it tonight. We got a lot to talk about, Andrew Carlson. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. We're talking Women's World Cup. Carly Lloyd's comments about the U.S. Women's National Team. We'll talk Leagues Cup, Dynamo dramatic win in penalty kicks, yet they are not scoring goals. So we're going to talk about that. One full hour tonight of Dynamo General Manager Pat Onstad. We cover everything in this interview that you would want, whether it's Sebas Ferreira, potential transfer of Coco Carrasquilla, the Dynamo and the inverted winger system, why strikers aren't getting more chances. The data, if you love data, well, we get into the final third pretty consistently, but strikers aren't getting chances. It doesn't matter what their name is. Corey Baird, Sebas Ferreira, Ibrahim Aliyu, they're not getting enough chances. We're going to talk about that with Pat tonight and got a few thoughts about that on my own as well. A real quick note here. Condolences go out to one of our great sponsors, Jan Christensen of Danish Inspirations Modern Contemporary Furniture. Jan was over in Denmark. His mother passed. Wonderful guy. Great friend of soccer in Houston, and also a huge supporter personally of the show through, you know, the great sponsorship that they have. So we thank Jan a lot and thinking about him right now. All right. We got Lionel Messi and Inter Miami and Frisco on Sunday. So this is sold out in 10 minutes. Yes, I said Frisco. Did we ever think Lionel Messi was going to land in Frisco, Texas? Well, he is. Sounds unreal. Sounds a little bit surreal. But it's a dream, right? They take on FC Dallas in the Leagues Cup. The Dynamo opponent tonight, the Dynamo got past Pachuca last night on penalty kicks. A couple of things here. I don't think most people realized this. Some did. But I don't think most people realize this. And this comes down to making people aware of things. Pachuca won the title 2 seasons ago. They quickly gutted the entire team because their players were at a high valuation. The bigger clubs come in, they pick them off because they're noted for player development, right? So this Pachuca version that came was not the Pachuca version that won the league. That said, by winning the league and a combination of points over the Apertura and Clausura, they got the bye in the League's Cup. So that's how they ended up playing the Dynamo. But this is not the same team that won the title 2 seasons ago in Mexico. So, you know, you have to factor all these things into what is going on. And a lot of times, I'm not sure we even know that. By the way, that team was formed in 1901. It's pretty crazy stuff. In a city that's outside Mexico City, that's noted for mining. The first half was a good half of soccer. I enjoyed that. The second half, I thought it was a very, very choppy game. Went to penalty kicks. So the Dynamo have done it 2 in a row in penalty kicks. Now, if these were MLS games, again, I'm just providing context. I'm not taking away from anything that's been done. Let's not get butthurt about this. But if, in fact, this were MLS games, you would be lamenting the fact that the Dynamo only took 2 points out of 9. 7 left on the table, including 2 home games. And you would be dropping out of that 9th playoff spot. So what does this all mean? It means the big question right now is, how is this team going to score goals? And we're going to talk about that in another segment. We're also going to talk about it with Pat Onstad. I want to bring real radio talk here. I'm losing it because of, you know, leading headlines. Lynn Williams says, here's a good one. I just saw this out here. I have to find this thing right now, Andrew, because these leading headlines that people put out, like Lynn Williams says, we're still alive in it. And the writer, who I don't even know the writer's name because I can't find the article right now when I need it at the moment of truth. But the guy who writes the article writes, exciting, you know, just amazing, exciting comment from Lynn Williams, who just said, we're not out of it yet. I mean, what's the big deal? What's exciting about that? That's what a professional soccer player is supposed to say. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776 is a number to call in here tonight. All right, Carly Lloyd, criticism. U.S. will play Sweden at 4 Central Time, I think it is, on Sunday. It's a breakfast show. Is it the end of the line? What do you think? Rose Lavelle is suspended, not available. So Carly Lloyd came out and provided healthy criticism. By the way, she has a job at Fox to provide commentary. And in a day and age when people play it close to the vest, don't want to get anybody mad, and just say a lot of times absolutely nothing, it's great to hear an ex-player criticize it. Now, I got my pros and cons with Carly, especially when it comes to NWSL. But what do you want out of an ex-player that is, I mean, do you want her not to be truthful? Do you want her to drink the potion? You don't have to agree with her, but you got to give her the right to have her opinion. Jeez, and her judgment. Is she really wrong that this team has looked disjointed, seems lacking focus? Is that really wrong? Is there something wrong with that she said that? Seems to have a lot of issues around this team, and they don't seem focused. Okay, whatever you want to say. Players out of position, players using the platform for their own personal branding as opposed to a group effort and team culture going into a World Cup, and group goals, tactics. Some people are coming down on Andonovsky tactics. Is he the firm enough guy to handle younger players? Take it from whatever angle you want, but I don't understand why people are coming down. I actually think this was a great thing that she's providing healthy criticism. So let's see if they can lift it now. Look, the gauntlet's down. The world game has caught up to you. We knew that 4 World Cups ago that this was going to happen, by the way. This is not a surprise. For those of you living under a rock, this is not a surprise that this is happening with women's soccer and that the rest of the world has caught up. And by the way, they caught up with a lot less resources, okay? A lot less resources. So you got to factor in everything. And, you know, when it comes to sports now, we have spectators. Thank you, Marcelo Bielsa, for giving us this. And we have fans. Spectators, sometimes they're celebrity-induced. It's a little fanboyish and girlish. I'm rooting for my person, even if they don't do well, my individual player. It's kind of groupie-ish. I don't know if you would agree with that or not, but I think it is. And then you have the people that are really love, respect players, but also are not afraid to criticize them. So I like the healthy criticism of Carly Lloyd. 3 to 4 World Cups ago, we knew the rest of the world was going to catch up to us. This game is priority in countries. It's a way to grow. We saw the potential of the great soccer-playing nations. So what does that leave you? That leaves you in the round of 16, teams like Spain, who we used to walk all over, okay? It leaves us teams like now breaking onto the scene. You got Nigeria advancing with former Dash coach Randy Waldrum. Morocco has advanced. France in the last 3 World Cup cycles is now formidable. Colombia, Jamaica. Okay, this is all happening because the rest of the world is taking the game seriously. And there are soccer culture's priority in these countries. All right, so Andrew Carlson, what do you think about Carly Lloyd, and do you have a problem with what she said?
I have no issue with what she said, Glenn, because the national team program on the women's side, and some would argue on the men's side as well, but I think especially on the women's side, needs a wake-up call. And the wake-up call almost came in an incredibly embarrassing elimination in the group stage of a tournament that you have dominated over basically the entire lifespan of its existence. And I think that this sort of criticism needs to come from someone who has a position like Carly Lloyd, someone who has been in that locker room, someone who has lifted that trophy. If it doesn't resonate with the players in the locker room, with the administration further up, when it's coming from a person like Carly Lloyd, then I'm not sure who can levy the criticism to the point where it's going to resonate with those people.
Yeah, it's interesting because so beloved, incredible World Cup, incredible career. Let's go to soundbite 16. Let's play Carly's soundbite here. Extremely unhappy. And I agree with her. What was the dancing and celebrating? If you're all about business, which was what we were told at the beginning of the tournament, and that's why we're so stoic and focused. If you're all about business, then why are you jumping around? Because you know what? That finish from Portugal, that's that's another foot inside that post. And you are out of the World Cup. And you want to know something else? It may be the best thing that happens to the women's national team program. It has been too much of a love fest. There's not enough healthy criticism. And that is a needed ingredient to continue to be the great soccer-playing nation we have been on the women's side. All right, here's Carly.
I have never witnessed, and just seeing these images for the first time right now on the desk, I have never witnessed something like that. There's a difference between being respectful of the fans and saying hello to your family, but to be dancing, to be smiling. I mean, the player of the match was that post. You're lucky to not be going home right now.
That's pretty right on. I don't think I have a problem with that. Let's go to soundbite 17. And she quickly reminded people she does care about the team. And I'm going to tell you a very interesting piece that she said that's very important that all of us need to take note of. Go ahead.
I'd like to state that obviously I was very critical of the team last night. I've had some time to reflect, to sleep on it, and I want people to understand that I care deeply about this team. I poured my heart and soul into this team for 17 years, and it was based off of a legacy that was just passed down from generation to generation, the mentality, the DNA of what makes that team so great. And so my comments were reflective on me wanting to see that legacy continue to be passed down from generation to generation. And with that, it comes with hard work. It comes with focus. And so my hope is that that continues, because that is what makes the U.S. so special and so deadly. And that is what ultimately has won us championship.
Now, another thing, she made sure on Twitter that she said that was not an apology for what she said, but she was just reiterating her love of the national team. So look, the Women's World Cup's been going on since 1991. 1999, the U.S. women, the 99ers, I know them all. I've done TV with all of them. Julie Foudy, Mia Hamm, Christine Lilly, Abby Wambach. Maybe not Abby Wambach. I don't think I did a game with her. Oh, Michelle Akers. I mean, on and on. Jill Lloyden, on and on. They made the mark for the women's. They helped put women's sports on the map. They showed the world that to be competitive, you could still be a female and be competitive, compete in sports. And the game has, in so many ways, accelerated in its development. It's the other countries have caught up physically. The other countries technically, tactically, have used the way that they know the game. The Dutch. Why wouldn't we think the Dutch would ultimately become really good? Why? Of course we know they're going to become good. The Netherlands is an unbelievable soccer culture. By the way, Germany was eliminated too. That's a big blow. So, love what Carly Lloyd did. I think we need healthy pressure in MLS. I think we need it here in Houston with the Dynamo. We need it with the Dash. We need it with the women's national team. I've said this for years till I'm blue in the face. You may be saying, I wish this guy would shut up. But you know what? It's a necessary ingredient. And you know what? I wish the phone lines were blowing up. And I wish somebody called in and said, hey, Glenn, you're way off base. But I don't think I am. And I have a feeling they may be knocked out on Sunday morning at 4 a.m. And it may be the best thing, just like the men's side, That was the best cleansing the U.S. men's national team could get. All right, we're going to take a break here at Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They are the best in the business. You get in a car, boat, motorcycle accident, you need the best. 713-CALL-NOW. 713-CALL-NOW. We got Dynamo Talk, we got Pat Onstad, and we got Messi selling it out up in Frisco.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Watch out, door.
Whoa, watch out, says that bird.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Oh, we love the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they've been getting this on the air for years, and super happy that we've got the support of John. And two things happen. You get the support of this radio station. I saw Mr. Gao heading out tonight, and their belief in soccer, they give you the opportunity, and then you have to have a sponsor. And our main guy is John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, and we get support from others as well. Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture, Hugh O'Connor's Pub, my good friend Dave out there, and Peter. And by the way, if you're watching soccer and you really want a real sort of European pub feel, I don't think there's anything better, nothing better than Hugh O'Connor's Pub. They got the dark woods in there. They got the crazy amount of whiskey offerings. They got bangers and mash. They got their food is really good. Shepherd's pie, all of that. Yes, it's a Liverpool supporters group hangout, our friend Ian Veery, but it's more than that. All right, 713-780-3776. If you want to continue on the U.S. Women's National Team and Carly Lloyd, her comments. We have Switzerland, Spain, Japan, Norway, Netherlands, South Africa, Sweden, USA, Australia, Denmark, England, Nigeria, France, Morocco, Colombia, Jamaica. That's the last 16. We're going to get into some Dynamo talk now. So I mentioned to you the Dynamo are in a really good category when it comes to getting into the final third of the field. Why wouldn't we think that would happen? When you acquire Hector Herrera, Artur, these are all guys that can advance the ball for you. They enhance now Coco Carrasquilla. They enhance Amin Bassi. And these guys are making a huge difference in getting the ball forward. But we're not scoring goals. And frankly, we're not getting the chances and enough chances, in my very humble opinion. So I love the fact that we're advancing in the cup. That's the rules. And we've done a great job of doing that when you're the Houston Dynamo. But the big question is, how are you going to score goals in the future if you're going to make the playoffs? And listen, as much as we want to talk Lamar Hunt, U.S. Open Cup, Leagues Cup, for me personally, I'm all about MLS playoffs. That is my number one priority. That is the place you got to get. So I got a lot of thoughts on that here tonight. And, you know, it's great to be able to debate this. And I'll tell you what. You have to be happy with Pat Onstad because he comes on, he takes any questions. We have a really, really good discussion. And when we get off the phone after it, we both say, man, we could have kept going. We really enjoyed that. So it's so much fun when I have Pat on because he's not afraid to talk about inverted wingers or some of the moves that they're making and bring his opinion on it. And for me, it's important for me to let you hear it from him. Okay, my opinion is an opinion. I think I'm qualified to have an opinion just like anybody else, but if you can hear it directly from the general manager, that's better to coincide with kind of everything, we're talking about here. All right. So let's do a little talk about the Houston Dynamo and kind of what's been going on with them. They've advanced again on penalty kicks, very dramatic, great for team culture. Let's go to the very important save, of Tony Figueroa's penalty kick from Steve Clark.
Packed group of fans behind the goal. Save Clark! And this ball goes all the way out to the halfway line after it denies Tony Figueroa.
And then Luis Casado, who came on in the second half. By the way, he hit a penalty in the prior match against Santos. Dynamo penalty taking was unbelievable. Casado sends the Dynamo to the round of 16.
Here's Casado. Casado, yes! It's over! The Dynamo have eliminated Pachuca. They are on to the round of 16.
And we do love eliminating Mexican League teams. Sorry, Guillermo. He's got a Monterrey jersey on. By the way, that side of the bracket is pretty, you know, there's a lot of people talking about the degree of difficulty on each side of the bracket. And was it done for the GOAT? And you know who the GOAT is. There's only one GOAT. All right, let's go to the phone lines and Paul. Paul, what do you have tonight? Hello, Paul.
Hey there, Glenn. I am just calling to express that I am happy with our performance here in the Leagues Cup. However, I do agree with you that our offense has been kind of shaky. I do want to express that we do need a designated player striker.
Well, I got news for you. You're not getting one.
Right.
Not in the near future.
Right. I do like what Haliu has brought to our offense, which is helping spread defense thin and giving other players like Baird, Bossy, room to like run around and help spread them down even thinner. However, I just do think that with his lack of goals and lack of shots on target, I don't know if it's something that I see it being long-term here.
So let me ask you a question about Aliou Ibrahim. First of all, he's young. He's a great potential. He's doing a lot of little things that I think are impressive, running the channels, checking back into midfield, and he does have that electric pace. I'm not sure the narrow game and the inverted wingers sets up to see him and Quiñones really getting behind defenses as much as maybe we would like. Let's be honest. That is one of their great attributes. It seems to be negated. I don't see them with that explosive pace getting behind enough people. Now, this may be pretty simple for me to say, but as I mentioned in the opening sort of monologue in segment one, whether it's Sebas Ferreira, Corey Baird, Aliou Ibrahim, or Thorold Farson, those four guys who have played as a center forward in this system. And listen, for all I know, Ben Olsen may not be really thinking he has to rely on them to score goals. I would think differently because you're not getting enough production out of people around them and in the attacking of positions. They don't necessarily have a history of scoring a lot of goals. So none of those guys have gotten enough chances. And I simply go back to one element that I don't think the Dynamo are good at, and that's bringing width to a game of soccer. Without width and carrying everything inside, there is no space for these guys. It's difficult for these four center forwards. And Sebas is at Vasco da Gama with a last-paced team trying to revive, you know, his situation. I'm all good with that. If the coach doesn't like a player, it doesn't fit a system, that's great. But this team has got to create more chances, and it can't say two or three chances a game is good enough. I mean, there's got to be more. That's what I think, Paul. You?
I would like our offense to take advantage of those two, three chances if that's all we are getting. You know what I mean? We do have to create a lot more chances, but however, there are times where we don't have a offensive player that when you see them up front, you're going to automatically think, here comes a goal. It's more like, is it 50-50? I agree with you. We don't really have that one player that is just going to decide a 0-0 Leagues Cup game, whether it's Leagues Cup, U.S. Open, or even regular league play.
Yep. Okay. So fair enough, Paul. I appreciate that phone call. Really good that you brought this up tonight. I think it is the big question. How does this team create more chances in the future? How does it score goals? Are we going to depend on Griffin Dorsey to cut in on his left and hit a worldie like he did in that game? Fantastic goal. By the way, he's had three wonderful games. You're never going to contest his effort. Is it going to be Corey Baird after a mistouch from Coco Karaskia slotting it in? I mean, this is nothing against those players, but whenever I hear we're going to score by committee, that makes me nervous. I want that one guy who's going to put a dagger in an opponent, who's going to get two chances and score both of them and not be involved the rest of the 90 minutes. From a goal-scoring perspective. First 45 minutes, the Dynamo are coming out and playing well, I think. I thought very well against Santos. I thought their first half against Pachuca better. But second halves right now, and this is a lot of volume of games, they are running out of steam. And it was evident in this game last night. And Hector Herrera is running out of steam. So I'm going to have some thoughts on that. But I asked Pat Onstad about Herrera managing minutes. What are we going to do? Because you can't play him 90 minutes now throughout every single game here if big picture is getting into the playoffs. And here's the kicker. Hector Herrera, is like Wayne Rooney. There's legendary stories about Wayne Rooney. I'm not coming off the field. I will not come off the field. And Wayne Rooney is very much like Hector Herrera. There's no way you're getting Hector Herrera off the field against Pachuca, the team he started with. But I would say in any game, he wants to be out there. And you could see he was fatigued. That final moment of the game, we're in stoppage time, boxes loaded up, set piece. I'm going, best guy in the world on the ball. And then in the back of my mind, I'm going, he's tired, though. Based on what Pachuca did in midfield and maybe him hitting the wall a little bit fatigue-wise, As other guys were fatigued as well, I'm like, I hope he can get a good piece of delivery in here and maybe you nip a goal here in stoppage time dramatically and win this. And, his delivery was very uncharacteristic because he hits just a remarkable ball, the way he moves it. And he's almost like a pitcher in baseball. He'll hit it and the thing will knuckle and drop. And that is difficult for defenders to deal with. Ultimately the free kick wasn't good. But the key to the playoffs could very much be these two things. More chance creation, scoring goals, and Hector Herrera workload management. And I don't know if that's, you got to convince him. You probably can show him workload data. So don't know. But those to me are the two really big issues. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. I mean, exponentially. Come on. This is a better team. It's so much more fun to watch. It's so much more interesting, just even from my simple position of as a commentator. It's so much more interesting to go to these games. I want Cruz Azul to win tonight because I want the Dynamo to knock Cruz Azul out of the tournament. And it's a culture build. And it staggered out of the starting blocks with Paulo Nagamura. 17 new players now since January. That's not normal. Okay? Much improved midfield. We said that from the beginning. When we saw Artur come, we saw an engaged Hector Herrera. It's on. It's on. And you got Coco Karaskia. It's on. You are going to grow, and you are going to be able to compete in all games. Then you start adding a few more veterans like Escobar, Sviatchenko. Wonderful. The big piece now is in the final third. By the way, Pachuca was equally poor in the final third last night. Equally poor. Because it's not the same Pachuca. It's still a darn good team. It still has a lot of promising young players. I think they had a 17-year-old out there at one point. They had a number of 20-year-olds out there. And they're all guys that came through their academy. Their philosophy is clear. This was a big win. If you want to call it a win, it's advancement. It's the rules of the tournament. But I guarantee you, as a Dynamo fan, if you're out there, you would not be happy right now if you took 2 of 9 points, including 2 games at home, because you would not be in the 9th place in Major League Soccer. So I want to provide context to all the other stuff that's going on. I believe that's part of my job. Context is important. Healthy pressure is important. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in tonight. 713-780-3776. So 7:30, I think it's 7 right now. It's probably starting right now. It's Charlotte against Cruz Azul. That is one to keep an eye on. We want to know who that Dynamo opponent is Monday. And by the way, you can get your tickets, HoustonDynamo.com. I'm going to be giving a lot of tickets away to that game on social media when they come in. So check my social media. Twitter at SoccerMattersGD and at Glenn Davis Sock. Not Twitter. It's X. It's X. Oh, my guys are giving me the X symbol. You better watch that. That means something else in another country. Just make sure you do that in the U.S. All right, we're going to take a break here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We're having fun.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, right where you belong.
You're the only one left of the Wayne family. This is where you belong. Welcome home.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We appreciate you tuning in here tonight. By the way, podcast of this show, Spotify, Google, Apple. You can get the podcast. You can get it right here at ESPN975.com. Oh, we're hearing Sergio Ramos to MLS with Lionel Messi maybe trying to help him get here. How about that? Is that sacrilegious there? Real Madrid against Barcelona? Wow, that's an interesting one. Okay, so I was talking with Andrew in the prior segment about these leading really weird headlines. Here's one from a guy named Chris Burton, who writes for Goal. This is the headline of the article, which I find strange. We are not panicking. U.S. Women's National Team star Lynn Williams sends out, now here's the key, in quotes, sends out exciting message ahead of last 16 clash with Sweden at Women's World Cup. Isn't Lynn Williams a professional soccer player? What's exciting about that? I would expect that from her. That's exciting? I don't know. That headline in a little bit of a way is kind of U.S. soccer. We're all fanboys and fangirls. Nobody can do any wrong. When we all know humans make lots of errors. So do athletes. So do soccer hosts. You know, they got a chance to turn it around. There is no question about that. All right, so you got New York Red Bulls tonight, New York City, Atlas, New England, Charlotte, Cruz Azul. All of us Dynamo fans are on that one. Philly, D.C., Leon, Real Salt Lake, Pumas, Querétaro. Lionel Messi sold out FC Dallas, Toyota, in 10 minutes. Sunday he'll be there. Are you guys driving up there? That's what I'm wondering. I have a friend who bought 4 tickets, $500 a pop. I don't know where he made his money, but $500 a pop, he bought 4. And I hear they're going for well over $1,000. It's sold out. Arsene Wenger, Andrew Carlson, got a statue, 22 years outside the Emirates. And we mentioned Germany's out of the Women's World Cup, Morocco, Colombia, the rise of England, the Netherlands. England has grown in recent World Cups. Flamengo, Olympia tonight, CONMEBOL Libertadores. That's round 16. By the way, Flamengo unbeaten in 10. Now, if you want a real raw watch, you watch the CONMEBOL Libertadores. And they're looking for a second Libertadores title in a row. Okay. Lucas Zelarayan to Saudi Arabia. Now, you have to be careful, as Major League Soccer players like Zelarayan are going to be enticed to go to Saudi Arabia. Now, if we lose 6 or 7 Zelarayan types, let's say Zelarayan, Mukhtar, they jump at the money, and we lose 6, 7, 8 of those guys, boy, we better have people following up of that caliber, because your league takes a hit losing those guys. And I'm sure agents are going to push them towards Saudi Arabia. due to overvalued payment and enticement. But if you start losing a lot of those guys to Saudi Arabia, I'm not worried about the Premier League. But Saudi Arabia could take aim at MLS and try to pick off some of these top players, double their salaries, bring them there with their silly money. So MLS has got to get protective here. And listen, if you're an owner and somebody's coming in and is giving you a hefty fee for Lucas Zelarayán, and you're in Columbus, what's going to prevent you from taking the Saudi money? Thoughts on that, Andrew?
It's just a unfortunate situation from an MLS perspective, because I feel a lot of the players that the MLS typically in the past has used to target to potentially grow the brand of the league for those in the country who might have a certain preference for the European game and bring some of those aging stars over to America. The option that they have now in Saudi Arabia is something that has not existed in the market before, and it's going to be a new hurdle for the league to overcome in the fact that, okay, Messi chose America because of the lifestyle, but he's already had the life-changing money that sets him up for generations and generations to the point where he can turn down an offer of $1.5 billion because I don't want to say it's a drop of the bucket for him at the end of the day, but it is not going to be something that significantly impacts his life in a massive way. For a lot of these other stars, that's not the case, Glenn.
Well, like, that could be life-changing for Lucas Zelarayán.
Exactly.
Like, financially.
There's so many of these players where if they get the opportunity in their, you know, mid to early 30s where they're getting a contract that's beyond their wildest dreams, why would they not take it? Like, I can't get mad at a player who's getting the chance to set up their family for potentially generations to come because Saudi Arabia is offering them this crazy money. And yeah, it's going to be a hurdle the MLS is going to have to find a way to overcome.
That's one to keep an eye on. I don't think there's any question about that. That is one to really keep your eye on in the future. I just want to go back to Ben Olsen and just pull one of his sound bites. And by the way, we'll take a calls on U.S. Women's National Team, Ben Olsen. Anything that's on your soccer mind, we're going to talk some Leagues Cup here in a minute. But I want you to pull soundbite number 7, Ben Olsen, on what the team is getting out of this tournament, the Leagues Cup.
You know, if you talk to coaches around the league when this tournament, it was like, get out of the group. You do not want 3 weeks in the summer to train. It's a hard thing to juggle. Emotionally, physically, and you'd be scrambling for games. But you also do need a little break, too. Hopefully we don't have that for a while. Hopefully we can keep going. So it is nice to get through and now to have a knockout game, similar to a knockout game that we're going to have. And it's good preparation in that way for the Open Cup matchup coming up. So, yeah, I think this is positive. And the fact that we're home and we're home again for our seeding coming into this, that's a little bit fortunate, but we'll take it, and it'll be nice to play here. We don't have to do the travel part.
So that goes back to the volume of games and Hector Herrera again. And again, Pat Onstad will talk about that. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. By the way, the Dynamo opponent in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup is Real Salt Lake, and they will play Leon tonight at 9:30. 713-780-3776. So if you want to get a look at Real Salt Lake and what they've been doing, they go up against the very good Leon tonight, 9:30 Central Time. And that's one we can watch tonight. I'm going to try to hustle and see some of the Charlotte Cruz Azul game. I'll probably have to watch that re-air, obviously, with the show tonight. Okay, Leagues Cup. I want to get your thoughts on that, too. I guess we got Rudy on here. So I think we get Rudy on first. So, Rudy, what's on your mind tonight here? You want to talk Houston Dynamo, Rudy.
Hey, what's up, Brian?
Hi, Rudy.
Love listening to your show.
Yeah, thanks. How you doing?
Not too bad. Hey, yeah, no, League Cup have been great. Obviously, following the Dynamo here in Houston and just seeing the progress that they've done in a year, I mean, under Ben Olsen, I think Ben Olsen is a coach. But, you know, if you follow the MLS, you know exactly what he is, what he brings, Benny Ball and everything. But I think you mentioned the fact that, you know, just the games themselves have been so much better from last year. And even as how, you know, we may want a winger or somebody that can open a game, like the Dynamo used to have in recent years with Albert Elise and maybe Kyoto. But as much of those games, you know, or those guys brought goals, it was also very difficult. How many times did we make the playoffs? So the difference.
Well, they made it once. They made it once in 2017. Right. It was an entertaining product, but I'm not really trying to compare it to Elise and Kyoto, because Elise and Kyoto were wingers that brought width. We are using wingers currently now inverted in a way. And the reason you use inverted wingers also is for a very important reason, which has been successful under Ben Olsen, to his credit. And that is, when you lose the ball, your wingers are already tucked in. It's actually very defensive in a way. And you're in a very good position to either, one, win the ball back, or at least force it wide and make it more difficult for a team to build up. So I think people are forgetting that aspect of inverted wingers, what it means when you lose the ball, okay? But I think the big question still remains, in order to get more chance creation, you got to find out where your width is going to come from. I think it's staggered a little bit because the left back position has been a struggle based on injury. Brad Smith slow to get back. Gasper, I don't know where he is right now. Nobody's claiming that position. And now you got to play Franco Escobar there, who, that's not really his game, getting up and down. And he was really brought in to be the right back to replace Griffin Dorsey, right? So you're going to have to find width somewhere. And I'll bring it up in the interview with Pat Onstad about Nelson Quiñones, and why not play him for patches of games to provide a little different look and width, so that he can get wide at times when they're in possession, collect the ball with his right foot, and get him behind defenses more and directly to goal at an angle. It's a fair point. It's not, nobody here is questioning the coach. I'm not questioning Ben. He coached 10 years in D.C. All I'm doing is bringing up alternatives to this. And the other thing I will just say is, you know, I spent time in player development, so I feel like I can talk a little bit about these things after a career playing and that. So this is good debate. Carry on, Rudy.
No, and you know, just finishing the fact that obviously Olsen has a different, brings something different to the team, and I think it's good. I know a lot of people are, you know, obviously against losing Sebastián Pareda, which I think me, you, and probably everybody else had him, you know, written down for maybe another 10 goals plus season. It didn't happen. That's not the way that it seemed that he was going to fit the team. So it's a little bit sad and disappointing that happened, but the way that they're playing right now, it may be, you know, not everyone's liking. But you mentioned it earlier too. It's so nice that at least we're competing in the tournaments and going a little further than we're used to. And whether by the end of the season, you know, a trophy is lifted or not, but as long as playoffs is still the main goal. And I agree with you. And thank you for taking my call, Glenn.
Hey, Rudy, thank you very much. Great stuff tonight from Rudy. We appreciate that. Listen, for me, it's playoffs. Lamar Hunt, U.S. Open Cup, Leagues Cup, it's all secondary. They're all very important. They're all an opportunity to put a foot forward. But to me, it's you got to get a playoff run going. And I still think scoring goals, game management, and minutes of Hector Herrera, these are really two things to keep an eye on here in the future. You know, scoring goals is going to be combined with getting more width in your team. All right, Leagues Cup. I love the Leagues Cup. I think it's been great. I want Cruz Azul here Monday. Let's eliminate them. I don't care how you do it. I did say that if these were MLS games, fans would be lamenting what has happened right now. Let's be honest. Still haven't legitimately won a game since June 21st. Still only have 5 goals in 8 games. That is to provide context with all the other things that are going on as far as advancement, moving forward, and all the other positives. I'm providing context. Those are facts. Those are facts. It's a fact that the Dynamo get into the final third. It's also a fact we're not getting enough chances, in my opinion, and we're not scoring enough goals, and that is going to have to change if you're going to make the playoffs. Okay? Because you can't win on penalty kicks in regular season games. But I've also heard people hitting on the League's Cup a little bit. You know, attendance, the rivalries are contrived. The interest isn't really there. The bracket is swung towards Miami and that side of the bracket, and Lionel Messi. You know, MLS has got the home field advantage, you know, and we all know why it's being played in the U.S. It's because of money, just like that AC/DC song we played. So, Guillermo Lasso Romero, give me your thoughts on what you thought of the League's Cup, because I have thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed it as well, you know, from a perspective of a Liga MX fan as well. You know, I have a lot of friends that we weren't really necessarily excited for the League's Cup when it had to do with the Liga MX teams. I was more excited watching it from a Dynamo fan perspective. But now that the playoffs are underway, sure, it's the first time. Sure, maybe some of the rivalries, you know, they're just not there yet. But over time, I think this tournament will be a better thing for the teams, for the players, you know. Yesterday we saw Pachuca, you know, rotating some players, giving young guys this opportunity to play under pressure in Houston. So it's good for both leagues.
By the way, the Dynamo got to do that too with Quiñones and Aliu, but they are firm starters now. These guys being brought in by Pachuca now are guys that they're hoping are going to carry them in the future to another Apertura or Clausura title, because they did gut the team of guys like Luis Chavez, just went to Russia, bought his own contract out. So that was the guy who scored that fantastic goal for Mexico in a pretty ill-fated World Cup. So, I think it's great. I mean, my focus has been on the Dynamo, obviously, but I like it, and I'm pulling for Cruz Azul to come in here and knock off Charlotte. Andrew, how about you? We're doing a headset changeover over there.
It takes a little time. I've enjoyed the League's Cup, and I think that there is value in continuing to grow the relationship and rivalry between Mexico and the United States beyond what it had been from a professional league perspective. Because previously we only had the CONCACAF Champions League to really compare and contrast the two from a year-to-year competition perspective. So now having something else to do that, and assuming that Mexico is going to take it seriously, which I believe in the future they will with the monetary prize that's on hand. Look, at the end of the day, cash rules everything, Glenn. And if you're giving out $40 million to the winning club, obviously there's some debate over how much of that money is going directly to the club. But people are going to care about that. The clubs are going to care about that. They're going to take it seriously. And as long as they take it seriously over a period of time, the rivalries will grow.
Now, let me just say this. If we go back to the Super League in 2007 and those Dynamo Pachuca games, this was nothing like that. And I'll tell you why. The reason is very, very simple. The guys on the Dynamo back at that time period, MLS wasn't advanced. They weren't making this kind of money. And there was a real clear disrespect from Mexican teams to MLS teams. In the 80s, even when we played Mexican teams, Unam Pumas, in a friendly, or Leones Negros, or teams from Guadalajara, they didn't respect American teams. So that is a built-in, you know, you get tired of not being respected. That gap has been smoothed over now. I don't think it's as contentious. And, I mean, a lot of the players aren't even American, so that thing isn't even part of it. It's kind of league against league. So, you know, that the incentive of being disrespected has been a good thing for the American player over all these years. I hope we don't ever lose that. And let's see if the U.S. women can parlay some healthy criticism into trying to turn it around in this World Cup. But I got absolute support for Carly Lloyd and everything she said. I don't think there's anything wrong there. And by the way, you want analysts who say something. You don't want people who just toe the party line and are so ultra simple and cautious that they're boring. They're boring. You have to say something. The show's not boring, I don't think. I don't know. You guys can decide out there. All right, we'll take a break here. John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. Big thank you. LamontBrands.com. That's where you get your Soccer Matters t-shirts and hats. Again, our presenting sponsor, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. 713 call now, bilingual. Let's go Cruz Azul tonight.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs,
plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with a sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.